You're listening to WMIE, Cocoa, Merritt Island, Melbourne, Titusville, and the Beaches, 91.5 FM, as well as W272BA, Cocoa Beach, and Vieira, FM 102.3.
Welcome to Trumpet of Truth with Sherry Medlock, a book by book, chapter by chapter, verse by verse, line by line of God's love letter, the Bible. Sherry studies from the original languages, Hebrew, Aramaic, and Greek, from which God dictated the word. And here's Sherry Medlock.
God bless you. Thank you. And welcome to Trumpet of Truth. This is Sherry, America's missionary messenger. So America, let's get God's love letter out. Please open your Bibles to Psalm 103, where we left off last time. Psalm 103, verse 1. Now, we are currently in what is called the Numbers Book of Psalms. Numbers in the Hebrew means wilderness, but it's relating to the earth, trying to find rest on earth, peace on earth. But there's such a wilderness of sin, of darkness, of absolute insanity on the earth. That's difficult at this point. You might like to entitle this Psalm 103, The Coming Kingdom. So you know right now that this is referring to a soon coming king, Yeshua Jesus, who comes at the seventh trump, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. What is a kingdom? A king and his dominion. Are you in his dominion?
103, a Psalm of David.
All right, now we know that King David was used by God to write this song, as he was used to write many psalms. And the last lecture, Psalm 102, David wrote it from the flesh viewpoint. You know, we all have this flesh. It hurts. It has to be fed. It has to be walked. It has to be slept like a little puppy dog. And so he wrote it from that perspective, calling out to God. Now, we're going to find that while this is still that flesh man, King David, whom we love writing this, it is a type of the second David. Did you know there's David 1 and David 2? You know there's the first Adam and there's the second Adam, right? Okay, the second David, Luke 3 tells us, is Yeshua Jesus, the Messiah, because, of course, David came through the, Jesus came through the loins of David. So, while last lecture it was about the man speaking from the flesh, this one is going to be the Spirit man speaking.
Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name.
Well, what is his name? Revelation 19:13. His name is called the Word of God, the sacred name Yahweh, YHVH, and Jesus Yahweh, Savior. Now, did you notice, Christian, that he told you that everything in you is to bless him? Bless means to love him, to worship him, to thank him, basically love. Now, you say, well, Sherry, does that mean my kidneys are going to bless him? My spleen's going to bless him? My lungs are going to bless him? Well, let's find out who you are. Okay, you are a spirit with a soul. The soul is the real you. That is your will and your emotions, that unique way you are. God made us all like little snowflakes. And you have a spirit, and your spirit is the intellect of your soul. That's why some people have a stronger life and mind and intelligence than others. Now, in the first earth age, 2 Peter 3:6, the world age that then was, you were in a celestial body, but your soul and your spirit, who's your real you, your will, your emotion, that real you and your intellect, were there in a celestial body. But when Satan rebelled and said, I will be God, and deceived one-third of God's children, God shook it, destroyed the first age, and sent out everyone one time to be born from above, born again, to come into this second earth age and be born into a flesh body. So, there you are. See, that body is not you. I always like to say that's your envelope. That's not you. Now, I know some of you have a hard time thinking it's not, because I have a prayer line, and I hear you say, I'm tired, I'm sick, I'm poor, I'm miserable. Okay, that's your flesh talking. That's okay. You can still call me, because I feel the same way sometimes. Okay. But you're in there. Now, some of you who are live here, and those in the spirit world, that airland out there, you're seeing me spiritually, because I see you spiritually. My spiritual eyes have 20/20 vision. And some of you are looking through your little brown windows, peep, peep, peep. And some of you are looking through your green windows. And before a dark shade of night was pulled over my eyes, I looked at you through big, bright blue eyes. So you see, you're in there and you are peeping out. So he says, bless the Lord, O my soul, all that's within me. So with all your will, you bless him. You submit your will to his will. Thy will be done. Let his will be done. Your emotion, your love, your passion, your feeling, your intellect, your thinking, your mind, everything about you, bless the Lord. Got it?
Verse 2, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits.
Okay. Now, when you go to get a job, you know, you say, what are the benefits? Now, I want to put this in parentheses. When America first started, and we were pure and holy, and Jesus was the Lord, the Bible, the book, we went to work, and we took our money, and we put a little aside for retirement, a little aside for health care. In other words, we worked, and then we were supposed to use wisdom to know what to do with it. We have become so fat and sassy that now we expect the employer to give us all of that, and if they don't do it, we'll make Big Daddy, the government, do it for us. What a bunch of spoiled brats we are. However, most of you, when you go and employ to get an employment, you say, first thing you say is, how are the wages? Oh, how much you going to pay me? Now, I want to ask you something. Would you work for somebody if they said, well, I can't tell you that. Would you go to work? No, you wouldn't. But I want to tell you, I do. And would you say, are there any benefits? And they'll say, well, you won't see many of them in the flesh life. Somewhere down the road, you're going to see them. Most of you would not be employed. I have been employed all of my life for a great God who never promised me one cent. He promised me to have bread to eat. And I don't have any benefits in this world because I give it all away. My benefit, of course, is that I love him. And this kind of a job, you work all the time, 24 hours a day, no salary. I dare say most of you would not go on the job tomorrow if you didn't get a salary and if you didn't get some benefits, right? But you see, every one of you, I want you to sign up now and accept the job of working for Almighty God for no pay, 24 hours a day, be on call anytime, turn on a dime, and give it all away with no benefits. You can be an absolute thrust away by everybody in the world, not even counting. But what an employee you are. And the benefits come later. Now he's going to tell us about the benefits. Everybody get a job then?
3, who forgiveth all thine iniquities.
Okay, benefit number 1. First of all, the Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Iniquities is sin. And then it says the wages. Uh-oh, there's the pay. The wages of sin is death. But what if, let's flip it over. What if it said this, and it's okay to flip the scripture. The wages of no sin is what? Life. Okay. All of sin comes short of the glory of God. The wages of sin is death. So see, you are supposed to die. Except that remnant, that elect, another story for another time. Everybody, you're doomed to die. Now, Jesus came down here in a body, that humiliating way that a child has to be born, and then they beat him to a pulp and he died and shed his blood. But when you confess and repent, he'll forgive your sins. And then what are your wages? Eternal life. Now, do you want to take that job? He didn't say any silver or gold. He didn't say you get a new car, a new dress, or even have a bathroom. He just said, I'll forgive your sins, because see, you can't have eternal life without sins. Pretty good wages so far, right?
Who healeth all thy Jesus.
Now, that's the next benefit. Okay, you say, well, I know somebody that's not healed, and they're a Christian. Okay, Jesus took those 39 stripes on his back. Isaiah 53:5, 1 Peter 2:24 says, with Jesus' stripes we are healed. This speaker has been healed of cancer twice with that and many other things. And even though I am blind, I teach the music, I teach on the radio, I teach the Bible, I walk around the supermarket, and I can't fix myself up as pretty as I used to do, but I'm doing pretty well, so I call that healing. But let me tell you, it don't mean now, but I'll tell you what else it means. In the eternity, there can be no disease. He says there'll be no pain, no suffering, no disease, no tears. So when Jesus took the 39 stripes on his back, not only can we apply them now by faith, but that means that those stripes also keep us free from disease for all eternity. Have you ever thought about that? Wow, hallelujah, it didn't fail. Eternal healing.
For who redeemeth thy life from destruction.
Okay, destruction is the destroyer. Redeemed us. All the wages of sin is death. Okay, so our Redeemer came and paid the sin debt. He redeemed us. He bailed us out. Have you ever redeemed your coupons? He bailed us out. He paid our sin debt for us. You know, when someone gets killed in a traffic accident or something, you hear on the news, they say, we cannot report the name until we contact the nearest kinsman. The nearest kinsman may come and redeem the body. Your nearest kinsman redeemer is the Lord Jesus Christ himself, not your mother, not your father, not your daughter, not your brother. And so the nearest kinsman redeemer was the only one qualified to come and bail you out. Hallelujah. Christ our Redeemer.
Who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercy.
Now, you know what that means? That means that right now, child of God, it means that his left hand is around your head. His right hand doth embrace you. And here's how I know. I have presented thousands and thousands of musical shows for my students, all dedicated to the Lord, writing them myself with scripture and costumes and beautiful. After the show, those parents who were warm and loving, not every parent's warm and loving, would be so proud of their little one who had sung or danced or played a piano or stood on their head or said something good. They were so proud of them. I'd watch them, pull them to them, and the mothers would just take that hair and brush it back, and the dads would just pat their head. And so see, there's a benefit. His left hand's under your head. His right hand doth embrace you. Did you feel it?
5. Who satisfies thy mouth with good things.
Now, you know perfectly well that when you go to work, why, they even have snacks in the room in there, don't they, to take your break. And they're going to give you enough money to feed. Sometimes they'll give you on a job a turkey at Christmas time. God feeds you really good. You know what it is? Man lives by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. I like to think of a mother bird, and she takes her mouth and then she puts that little worm into a little baby bird. So God says every word that proceeds out of his mouth, we open our mouth wide and he fills it. And the word of God fills you. It's a 10-course meal. You don't have any vitamin deficiencies.
So that thy youth is renewed like the eagle.
You know, I like this job. Good benefits, okay? Youth is renewed as the eagles. Well, how is an eagle's youth renewed? Okay, the eagle has an annual molting, a time of molting. It'll look like he's about half dead and sick and gonna die. So he'll go off by himself and shed his feathers, and lo and behold, a new, refreshed, youthful, vibrant eagle soars. Hallelujah. Now, to some extent, when you go into your prayer closet, wherever that might be, and you listen to God's voice, and you pray, I don't mean say, please understand, most people say and don't pray. I mean, very few people know the difference. But when you have this communication, you talk to him, he talks to you, you do come out refreshed. But here's the deal. In the eternity, when we get the benefits, there is no age in spirit. God has no age. We were all created the same age, the same time in the first earth age. We are all the same age. You are just as young as your youngest child, and you are just as young as your oldest parent. You understand? You're just as young or old as Methuselah, okay? But what he did, he sent us out one time in the flesh in the second earth age to choose Jesus or the devil. And so he sends us out at different times. And that's why you think this person's older than you. See, I've always known that. That's why age means nothing to me. Although my body doesn't understand that. I know that. So in the eternity, we have that forever young. What a job. I accept this job. I've accepted a long time ago. I pray you'll accept it today.
6, the Lord executed righteousness and judgment for all that are oppressed.
Now we know that if you are truly serving the Lord Jesus, that he comes after your jugular. When God chastises, he spanks just to get your attention, to correct you, because he loves you, but he doesn't kill you. When something is coming upon you to kill you, that is the devil, and he tries to oppress you. Now, a true Christian filled with the Holy Spirit cannot be possessed of the devil, but you certainly can be oppressed. They come in here piggyback. Some of them came in here Wednesday night. I don't know if you're aware. And it's just all the time. You just have to fight it. And he's always trying to oppress you and stop your path so that you won't fulfill the work of God. But God redeems you. How does he do that? Jesus says, I give you power over all the power of the enemy, over scorpions and devils, serpents and scorpions, that means devils and demons, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. But you have to exercise that power.
7, he made known his ways unto Moses, his acts unto the children of Israel.
Now he made known his ways. Ways means his word. With God's finger, he wrote his word, his way, to Moses, and then Moses gave it to us, the Torah, the Pentateuch, the first 5 books. Now, when you want to know what way to go, open the book. Seek ye out of the book of the Lord and read, as Isaiah says. See the book. The instructions are in there. Now, what about his act? Okay. See, I've been in theater all my life. God did that so I'd be able, comfortable being up before people and be able to, with great joy, communicate the love of God. And so people would say, okay, Sherry, get up and do your acts. I do a little dancing act. I do a little singing act. I do a little oratory act, whatever. They say, next person, do your act. Well, when God parted the Red Sea, that was some act to follow. What an act.
8, the Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and plenteous in mercy.
2 Peter 3:9, God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. See, we want him to hurry up and get it done. He wants to hurry up and get it done. But see, there might be one person listening to me now that this is the day that you're going to repent and get saved and make Jesus your Lord. This might be the day that just one person out there is going to come out of Babel into the Bible, that your eyes are going to open and you're going to find out what the mystery is. Hallelujah. So God loves you, and that's why he waits.
9, he will not always chide.
He will not always contend. Right now, it's a pretty contentious bunch of children God has. Look at the world. How many of them are even obeying him, even in the church?
Will he keep his anger forever?
Right now, God is building up righteous indignation. You know, have you ever had something get on your nerves, on your nerves, on your nerves, and after a while it just explodes? Well, God's the same way. We get that from God. See, nobody worth their salt. If you don't have passion, you're not worth your salt. God cannot stand lukewarm. For God's sake, get up and shout or do something. Be something. Do something. He says, be cold or hot. Just don't be dead. Dead is opposite of life. And so God has that wrath built up. But when he comes back at the 7th trump, he's got a wide-mouthed dish. That's the way it reads in the Greek, a wide-mouthed dish. So it won't dribble out. It's going to pour it all out one time. That's the cup of wrath on all those who have worshipped the devil and have not waited for him. That is the cup about which Jesus prayed in the garden, Father, if it be thy will, let this cup pass from me. Jesus was not trying to get out of the crucifixion. For the joy set before him, he went to the cross. He just has compassion, and he knew that when he came back, that if you did not accept him then, too late.
10, he has not dealt with us after our sins. nor rewarded us according to our iniquities.
In other words, even when he does chastise his children, he doesn't give us what we really deserve, does he? Absolutely. Hebrews 12, verse 6, it says, whom God loves, he chastises.
11, for as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him.
Now how high can you go up there before you run into a stop sign? I mean, it goes on and on, infinity. I have a music student named Jeffrey Joplin. He's a genius. And I was discussing this verse with him, and he said he learned in science that the universe is ever expanding. Well, the Bible says that. That's why God calls himself a green fir tree, ever living, ever pregnant. That's why I can hear the same book. See, I would never be bored. I could start each book I teach all over, and it would be brand new to me. It's vibrant and alive. That's the way God is. And so you could go up there, up there, up there. But Jeffrey said the teacher did say that there is a border there. But past the border, there's infinite space. And then you go to the east and you go to the west. It's just ever expanding. What a great God. He's so creative. God sees a hole in space and he says, planet B. He probably makes a purple planet. Maybe you'll let me see that one. And then he says, let's make some galaxies and moons and stars for this planet. What a creative artist. I'll tell you, we're never going to be bored. Eye has not seen, ear has not heard, neither has it in the heart of man what God prepared for those of us who love him. Revelation 22 says the leaves of the tree are for the healing of the nation. The Greek means we're never going to be bored. I mean, ever-expanding universe. Hallelujah. But he says, as high as that is, and you cannot measure, we just sang the love of God. The Lord gave me that song. And it says, as it goes beyond the highest star. I mean, beyond that. See, that's past that border out into infinity. Mercy means love. The love of God.
12, as far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us.
Our sins. See, there goes that infinity. When you confess your sins, and even after you're Christian, you need to confess. I check yourself every day and repent. He takes that sin when you're sincere, and he throws it over to the east, or he throws it to the west, and it's so far, it's gone into the sea of forgetfulness. God remembers what you forget, and God forgets what you remember. That big old bad sin you did, even though you repented of it, you know how you still remember it? God says, I've thrown that into the sea of forgetfulness. Forgive yourself now and let it go. But he remembers what we forget. He said to Job, Job, do you remember when the morning stars sang and shouted and danced together? Stars, children of God, minus the flesh of the first earth age. That's why we love to do our act. Sing and dance with the Lord. Do you remember that? You don't remember that. But see, he took that from you. So when you came here one time in the flesh, that your choice for Jesus would be real, not just so you could have eternal life.
13, for as the Father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him.
When the Lord does have to chastise him, it hurts him more than it hurts the child. Any good parent feels that way. I feel that way being a leader. I have to keep order in the church. I have to do that. And every now and then things come in and people don't like it and they get mad, but you just have to keep God's house straight. And you do it, and it hurts you. It hurts me more than it does them. Mostly they don't even realize that they've aggravated, and then I go and cry all night. That's the way God does. So we can understand his heart.
14, for he knoweth our frame. He remembers that we are dust.
He remembers how he made us, our little backbone and skeleton. You know how he knows? Because God made himself a body. It says, lo, in the volume of the book I come, it is written of me. I've got a body. He formed himself a body. He knows what it's like to be tired. He knows what it's like to be hungry. He knows what it's like to be hurting, so he can have mercy on us.
15, as for man, his days are as the grass. As the flower of the field, so he flourishes.
The flower is so beautiful in the morning, and then they come and cut it, and there, here today, gone tomorrow. You know, 1 Peter 1:24 says that same thing, but 1 Peter 1:25 says, but the word of the Lord endureth forever. Now, your flesh may be like grass, but remember, that's not you. The word of the Lord endures forever. So if you're in the word, guess what? Benefit. You endure forever.
16, for the wind passeth over it, and it is gone.
Now, the wind, the Holy Spirit is called the Holy Ruach in the Hebrew. That's how you pronounce his name. But this is not the Holy Ruach. This is just Ruach. So that is your spirit man. It means, according to Ecclesiastes 12, 6, and 7, that when the silver cord is broken, the silver cord is what attaches that spirit and soul that is the real you. It keeps it connected to your flesh body while you're here in this little journey. But when it's your time to go, he unscrews that and disconnects, and so the spirit returns to God from whence it came, and the flesh goes back into the dirt from whence it came. In other words, that spirit, what it says about the flesh, that means it is not. You don't need it anymore. It was just a one-time garment.
And the place thereof shall know it no more.
In other words, you, the real you, because you have a celestial body, you will not have to get back into that. Would you really want to put it back on if you got out of it? I don't think so.
17, but the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting.
Infinity.
Upon them that fear him.
If you love him.
And his righteousness unto children's children. 18, to such as keep his covenant, and to those who remember his commandments to do them.
Now, covenant is a contract, and that's the Bible, Genesis 1 to Revelation 22. And the word keep there in the Hebrew is guard, and it also, deeper in a deeper sense, means to give your attention to. See, right now, all of you are doing that first part of that, and that pleases him, because you're watching, you're seeing, you're thinking of it, you're keeping, you're paying attention to his word. Now, what about doing? James 1 says you can't just be hearers of the word, you got to be doers. I'm going to tell y'all, it's a dangerous thing to hear the truth you hear from the third level, and not many of us, but to whom much is given, much is required. For every word you hear, you're supposed to do something with it. Every word you hear, go and share. And if you are not equipped to teach or not called, please don't do it. If you're not called, you shouldn't. But always find a place where that word is going and give your support there. Give your prayers. Give your presence. And whatever else you need to give.
19, the Lord hath prepared his throne in the heavens.
In John 14, Jesus says, I go and prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again, that where I am, there you may be also. Jesus is the carpenter. So they're just building a way up there, the heavenly Jerusalem. Revelation 21 says at the end of the millennium, that 1,000 years reign of peace will all be in our spiritual bodies, the elect teaching with Jesus here. Then the God the Father is going to bring that place down, heavenly Jerusalem, and put it here, earth refurbished, and live with us forever and ever and ever. That's the place, Father's house.
And his kingdom ruleth over all.
Of his government there shall be no end. Jesus, King of kings and Lord of lords.
20, blessed he the Lord, be his angels that excel in strength.
Now, who are these angels? That's you. Jesus said in heaven, we are as the angels. See, now, forget our Christmas programs with all our wings. It doesn't mean that. An angel is a child of God, a young man, same as the word stars. When God said in Genesis, let us make man in our image, the Hebrew word there is Elohim, God and his angels, God and his children. He was talking to us. I'm going to make your flesh body and let you come through. And God said, I'll do the same thing. I'll make me a flesh body. And so it says we excel in strength. Well, how do we excel in strength now? We have power over all the power of the enemy. And excel in strength, my Lord, for all eternity. We're going to be young and strong and never sick and with our Lord, and whatever he's got for us, we're going to be right there with him. That's strong.
That do his commandments, hearkening unto the voice of his word.
You hear the word and then you do the word. Everybody say, I hear the word.
I hear the word.
I do the word.
I do the word.
Very good.
21. Bless ye the Lord, all ye his hosts.
Now that means his army. God has an army in heaven that he is getting ready right now. Man, they are getting everything ready. I think I know some of them. And when Jesus comes at the seventh trump, he's going to bring that heavenly army. I can't wait to see it. I bet you they're getting those hailstones ready for the battle of Armageddon, the battle of Haman God. However, he's got an army here. We are the soldiers of the cross. We fight not with flesh and blood, but with powers and principalities of the air. I mean, on every corner. I mean, right in church, they come in and they pick and they distract and they try. And you have to know the difference, discernment of spirits, and you have to stomp it right then, nip it in the bud right then in the name of Jesus and say the scripture. Don't ever let them come into your assembly. You say, but I'll hurt somebody's feelings. Remember, it's the demon's feelings you're hurting. Go ahead, hurt the demon's feelings.
Ye ministers of his that do his pleasure.
Minister means to serve him. How can a minister please him? Teach every word of God. Let's stop the sermons, folks. I know the seminary says to do that. I went to seminary. But see, that's one verse and 3 points. It takes you 700 years to go through the Bible. Let's let the Bible be the sermon. Every chapter has a title. Let God do the preaching. How about that? That'll please him.
22, bless the Lord, all his works, in all places of his dominion.
God is an artist. He calls us his workmanship. So we're all created to please the Lord, to be fruit bearers for him, to make him happy.
Bless the Lord, O my soul.
Now that was David at the end of that, very modestly saying, I too, O Lord, will bless the Lord. The kingdom is coming at the seventh trump. Excuse me. Antichrist comes at the sixth trump. We are now in the fifth trump. It's a time of learning, so may we hear the fifth trumpet, please. Mystery moment, a time for me to give to you the key of David to help you understand things kept hidden from before the foundation of the earth. Question number one, dear Sherry Trumpet, is there anything in the Bible about ISIS trying to take over Iraq? Absolutely, yes. I just recently taught the Minor Prophets on Wednesday night, and quite a few times it referred to the locust armies, not talking about literal locusts, but the natural locust is a swarmer. They swarm together like an army, and they tear up everything, devour everything in their path, and there are four stages of the locust army. So those protesters that we've been seeing for the past few years, and that got bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger, okay, they are a part of that locust army. Now, ISIS in Iraq, okay, Revelation tells us at the end that God is going to loose four evil angels from the river Euphrates. Euphrates is Iraq. Those four evil angels have already been loosed. And so part of ISIS is the beginning of the culmination of the locust army, because the last part of the locust army would be the fallen angels, because some of them are coming before Satan comes as Antichrist. So it's moving along. Now we're getting to the very end of the fifth trumpet. I've been blowing the trumpet to get you. Many of you hearing this for the first time, and you'll say, wow, wow, wow. And so that's not all human. Those are not all human beings. The evil angels are in there. That's why it is so overwhelmingly horrible, even to the Al-Qaeda who do bad things like that. You see what I'm saying? That's the four evil angels, and it's right there in Iraq. Remember, that was where the Garden of Eden was, so you start, we have always have that battle there. Okay, I hope that helps you there. We're coming to the end. You stay true to Jesus. Don't get deceived, because soon as that last little stage of the locust army, which is mixing in there in Iraq with ISIS, then Satan comes, so it's getting closer. Praise the Lord. The sooner he comes, the sooner Jesus comes. Wait for the seventh trump, though. Dear Sherry Trumpet, in Revelation chapter 13, it says the second beast, as is put out, comes up out of the earth. Does he come up out of the ground like some kind of a monster? No, what it is, out of the earth, is a mistake in English. It reads, he comes on the earth. The second beast is the Antichrist. He is the devil with his Jesus costume on, pretending to be the savior of the world. That first beast is the political system, which merges into a one world order, and then of course Satan will come. Michael, Revelation 12, is going to kick Satan out of heaven, and he will come on the earth and land and call himself Messiah. Okay, next question here. Dear Sherry Trumpet, it says he has two horns of a lamb, but the voice of a dragon. Please explain that. Well, we know that Jesus is the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world, Christ our Passover sacrifice for us. We know that one of the devil's names is dragon. He's also called a serpent. He's called Lucifer, Morning Star, Tyre. He's coming back as Christ. He has these play actor names. So he's coming back as the lamb. Two is a mouth of two or three witnesses. He's going to say peace and safety, cause craft to prosper. There'll be a big revival in the Christian church, that part of the church that will be deceived. That won't be all of you, thank goodness. But the voice won't be the word of God. It'll be the word of the dragon. And do you know the difference? His word is being preached in Christian churches. Have you heard the gospel of the devil preached lately? Lie, fly. Okay, let's go on with a few more questions. Let's see, it says that he causes everyone, all, great and small, rich and poor, free and bond, to take a mark in their forehead or in their right hand. Please explain that. Okay, it doesn't mean a literal mark. It is not a tattoo. It is not a computer chip. It's not a Sharpie. What it is, if it's in your forehead, it means you have already believed the lie that that first one coming is Jesus. See, many dear Christians are already wearing the mark of the beast in their forehead if you believe that first one coming to fly you out of here is Jesus, because see, you're marked by the lie. What about the right hand? The right hand means that you would be nurturing his work along. See, right now, I am nurturing work along the work of Jesus Christ, my Lord, my God, because I'm telling his word. But when Antichrist comes in here, those Christians or those people who will tell the devil, oh, devil, Sherry doesn't believe you're Jesus, they will be doing his work, thinking they're doing a good thing. That's the mark in their right hand. And then they want to deliver us up to him. Don't be mad at them. That's your destiny. That's your 15 minutes of fame. Don't blow it. Okay. Let's see what else we got. I've got a little bit more time here. I'm watching my clock. Let's see what we have here. It says that first beast, it says he will exercise the power of the first beast, the second beast. What does that mean? Okay, the second beast, remember, is Satan pretending to be Jesus. The first beast, the political system. It means that the political system will be the one world government, just be one world government, no other government, no nothing else. And he will govern that. He will have power over that. He'll be the one ruler, the one God of the earth. Now remember, there are going to be a few of us, 7,000 elect, who know the difference. Do you know the difference? Dear Sherry, in Revelation 14, it says there are 144,000 there who are sealed in white robes. Are those the elect? No, they are not. It is a number of symbology. 144,000 means whole, W-H-O-L-E, God's complete body of Christ, Gentiles, everybody included. The elect are symbolized by 7,000. The 144,000 are those Christians who are for just a moment in the flesh going to go to Satan because they didn't know every word of God and they're going to think he's Jesus. They're going to start to kneel to him. But when the 7,000 elect, when we're delivered up to Antichrist and the Holy Spirit speaks through us, they will realize the truth and they will run back from Satan and they will repent. Those who repent while they're still in the flesh, see, as they're getting very close, they're going to be very last, they can be forgiven. As long as you're in the flesh, you can be forgiven. Now, if they wait until the body change, which will happen at the seventh trump, it'll be too late. So the 144,000, it doesn't mean all the Christians. It means those who actually will think that Satan is Jesus and will go to him because of the lifelike proverb. But when they hear the elect, do you realize, elect, what a job, what a responsibility, what an honor we have? They're going to hear that and they're going to repent. And if they repent while they're in the flesh, they will be in that whole number. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. So when will they be sealed with the truth? at the very last minute. You don't ever want to make it too late. Let's see, I think we got time for one more question here. Dear Sherry, what is a Mamzar? And where is it found in the Bible? In the English, it's not written in there, but it is written in the original languages. It would be Deuteronomy 23, verse 2. It is in error in English because there they use the word bastard. That is incorrect. We call someone who is born out of wedlock a bastard, and, you know, we don't mean that in any derogatory manner, but that's what people say. But that's not what it says there. The Hebrew word there is Mamzar. Now you want to know what a Mamzar is, don't you? Go to your Strong's Exhaustive Concordance, Hebrew section. You will find that it is a child born of two different races. He says there that that person must never, ever lead God's children. They can be saved just like a Kenite can, but God said seed after its own kind, and he said to do that. So that's what a Mamzar is. And so see, there you go. All right. I think that's about all the time we've got for questions. Now, I want all of you to come and live with me in Father's house forever. I love you. So if any of you are not saved, or you're not sure you're saved, I want you right now to pray this prayer with me and mean it. Will you do this? Pray this after me, please. Excuse me. Father, in Jesus' name, I confess I have sinned.
Father, in Jesus' name, I confess I have sinned.
I repent of my sins.
I'm so sorry.
Please forgive me for all my sins.
Omission, commission.
I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead. Save me and fill me with your Holy Spirit. And use me to enhance your territory. Thank you, I love you. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. Now, the Bible says confession is made unto salvation. You need to tell someone. You might like to tell me. You'll get my school voicemail. Here is my number, 321-632-4631. Let me give it to you again, 321-632-4631. You may also leave your prayer request, or maybe you'd like to tell me you appreciate these programs. I'd like to invite you to come on Sunday, 5 p.m., and Wednesday, 6:30 p.m. It's Sherry Medlock School. I'm in Cocoa, Florida. Here's the location, 916 Florida Avenue. Sherry Medlock School, 916 Florida Avenue, Cocoa, Florida, 32922. Again, my telephone number, 321-632-4631. I love you. God bless you. You stay in that word. Hearken to the word and do the word. And remember that his name is called the Word of God. I love you. See you next time. This is Sherry Medlock. Thank you so much for listening to Trumpet of Truth. I do pray you were blessed. First of all, I want you to come and live with me in Father's house forever and ever. So let's make sure that you're saved. If you're not certain, please pray this prayer with me, and he will write your name in the Lamb's Book of Life right now. Ready? Let's go. Father, in Jesus' name, I have sinned. I repent of my sins. I'm so sorry. I confess that I have sinned. I ask that you will please forgive me of all my sins. Please wash them all away with the precious blood of Jesus. I believe in my heart. I confess with my mouth that God has raised Jesus from the dead. Oh, save me, Lord. Be my Savior, but be my Lord. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. Use me to enlarge your territory. Here am I. Send me. Thank you. I love you, and I belong to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, if you prayed that, you'll want to tell me. 321-632-4631. That's my number, my school number, Sherry Medlock School. 321-632-4631. 632
4631. You'll get my voicemail, but just leave your name. And if you want me to call you back, please leave your number. But as soon as I get the message, I will immediately take your name to Father's throne. Now, if you are sick, I want to pray for you to be healed. Do you know that God still heals? I have been healed of cancer 2 times in 2 different places of my body, and I did not ever go to the doctor. I'm not saying that you shouldn't. I always say if you can't walk on water, take a boat, but I'm called to faith, and I believed. One time it took me 2 years, one time it took me 4 years, but I'm completely healed, and you can be healed too, and many things we overcome through the faith in Jesus Christ. Modern scientists have told us that there are only 39 foundational diseases, that all other sicknesses and diseases stem from these 39. The Bible says that Jesus took 39 stripes on his back, and Isaiah 53:5, 1 Peter 2:24 says that with Jesus' stripes we are healed. With Jesus' stripes you are healed. He sent his word and healed you. The blood was for the remission of sins, and the stripes were for the healing. Now, I want you to place your hand over whatever needs healing. If there's a part of your body that's missing, place your hand there if you can, because God is able to create a new body part. If something's broken or fractured, place your hand there. If something's not working, eyes or ears or legs, place your hand there. In any event, lift up your heart to the Lord. Now, the anointing destroys a yoke. So, Father, in the name of Jesus, we ask the Holy Spirit will anoint this one, Father, as I pray this prayer. You said the prayer of faith shall save the sick. So, Father, in the name and the power of Jesus, I ask the Holy Spirit will move out to wherever this one is. Wherever there's something missing, in the name of Jesus, we call forth a new body part, whole and well by the hand of God. We call forth those things which are not as though they were, in the name of Jesus. Now, for all cancer, you're a demonic force, and I command you, all cancer, to desist and be gone from this body. And where the cancer was, let the healing virtue of Jesus flow in and repair the tissues. Cancer, you have to die. You have no power over this one. Jesus' stripes heals all cancer. Deaf ears, epitaph, be healed. Diabetes, in the name of Jesus, you are a diabolical force, and I command you to loose this one, that the blood sugar become normalized. Let glaucoma be gone. Let this one live and not die. Blind eyes see. Blessed are your eyes, for they see. You recover sight. Right eye see. Left eye see. In the name of Jesus, cataracts be gone. Glaucoma be gone. Macular disease be gone. Retina, everything in the eye be healed. Skin be healed. Skin be made whole. Burned skin be made whole in Jesus' name. Brains function. Dementia, Alzheimer's. Go to the abyss and never return in the name of Jesus. Come, mind of Christ. Clear thinking, wisdom. Clear thinking in the mind. In the name and the power of Jesus Christ. Arthritis, you are a devil. You go to the itises and go to the abyss and never return. Let the bones be made strong. Let broken bones be mended. Where their bone is brittle, be made strong in the name of Jesus. He makes your bones strong. Burning feet stop. Burning toes be perfectly aligned. Feet get back in your right place. Hips get healed. Their pelvic girdle, and pick up those legs and arise. Take up your bed. Get up out of the wheelchair. Arise. Take up and walk in the name and the power of Jesus. Knees stop hurting and be made whole in the name of Jesus. Stomachs be healed. Kidneys be healed. Right kidney, left kidney, bladder, colon, private parts on men, private parts on women, be healed. Backbone, spine, vertebrae, right on down from the first one to the last one. Vertebrae, get back in order, be perfectly aligned. Disc, be made whole in Jesus' name. Pelvis, pelvic girdle, inside the bone marrow, muscles and nerves and sinews and tissues, the tongue and the throat, the lungs, the heart, the hands, the arms, the backs, the muscles, the brain stem, in Jesus' mighty name, top of your head to the soles of your feet, that the healing virtue flow and let you be made whole. With Jesus' stripes you're healed. He sends his word and heals you. The anointing destroys the yoke. Now, call forth your healing. Speak it out of your mouth. With Jesus' stripes, I'm healed. Father, touch this one. Let your miracle power flow here, dear God, and show your glory and restore health and cure to them. You will restore health and cure is your promise, and we thank you and we receive it. In the mighty name of Jesus, we give you all of glory. Now, you might want to tell me also that you've been healed. Again, my number is 321-632-4631. 321-632-4631. You might also like to call me to ask me to pray for you. Again, you'll get my voicemail. That's the only way I can handle this. I'm a one-woman show. I don't have any help here. We accept the Lord, and he's a good help. So always leave your message, but I will get your message. I check them very often. I will always pray for you. Come on Sunday here at my school, 5 p.m. front entrance, to more of Trumpet of Truth. Bible, line by line, prayer for healing, prayer for salvation, beautiful music, 916G Florida Avenue, Coco, in the El Charro Mexican Plaza. You'll see a big sign, Sherry Medlock, Trumpet of Truth, and then in the front door there you'll see another sign, Trumpet of Truth. Come right on in. And Wednesday night we have another book, currently studying Revelation. By the time you get here, it'll be a new book of the Bible. 6:30 p.m. on Wednesday night. We also pray then fervently for America. Be sure to tune in next week, same time, for more of Trumpet of Truth with Sherry Medlock. And remember this when you think of Jesus, Yeshua. It's taken from Revelation 19:13. His name is called the Word of God. I love you. See you next time.
You've been listening to Trumpet of Truth with Sherry Medlock, a book-by-book, chapter-by-chapter, verse-by-verse, line-by-line of God's love letter, the Bible. Sherry studies from the original languages, Hebrew, Aramaic, and Greek, from which God dictated the Word. Tune in next week at this same time for the Trumpet of Truth with Sherry Medlock.
Hark, ye harried angels and kings, be renewed at the Christmas caroling. It's Sing Along with Sherry, Silent Night, Little Drummer Boy, Joy to the World, and many other songs as well. We encourage you to come, even if you can't carry a tune, but come anyway. When? That's each Wednesday at 6:30 p.m. beginning on November the 12th. The place? The Sherry Medlock School, 916 Florida Avenue in Coco. For more information, you can call Sherry at 632-4631. Each week, you'll be preparing for this event, which will be Sunday, December 21st at 5 p.m. Now again, that's each Wednesday night at 6:30 p.m. We'll be practicing singing these great Christmas carols. Again, for more information, you can contact Sherry at the Sherry Medlock School, 321-632-4631.
With you, I'd rather. He should.